You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of the 2008 ICAC IDSA Joint Conference. The conference took place in Washington, D.C. from October 25th through October 28th, 2008.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, editorial director of The Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions.
My name's Adi Arana. I'm from Brown University, Warren Alpert Medical School at Brown University, and I worked on this study. It's a descriptive study of pregnant women, HIV-infected, who are in Mississippi. And the reason, sort of the motivation behind the study, was the fact that CDC data is indicating that this is where HIV infection is. It's in African-American women in the South who are really of reproductive age. Over 80% of the women who are HIV-infected are of reproductive age. And we have this collaboration with the folks down in Mississippi at the University of Mississippi Medical Center in other projects, and we felt that there wasn't a lot of information on these women. So I did a chart review of all pregnancies that were seen at the perinatal HIV service from 1999 to 2006 and abstracted HIV and sociodemographic data. And sort of the main points of our study was that these women were young. They were 25. They were mainly African American. They were low socioeconomic factors. And we found that there were comorbidities, including high rates of sexually transmitted diseases. Almost a quarter of the women had that, as well as almost 15% had associated substance abuse. The main thing we also wanted to focus on was looking at, after these women deliver, do they follow up with their HIV provider? The focus of most of the literature in HIV medicine has been on whether or not there's been decreasing mother to child transmission, and we've done fabulous on that. But the question is, after that baby is negative, what's happening to the women? And very disappointingly, we found that almost half of the women either had no or only one visits with an HIV provider after their delivery. Standard of care set up by primary care guidelines in the care of the HIV infected person is at least one visit every 3 to 4 months. So this is quite abysmal. So what we're going to do next now is look at predictors of these follow-up rates, and we're also going to start a prospective study where we enroll these women as they engage in care with a perinatal HIV service so that we can try and develop targeted interventions to improve their follow-up rates.
Can you tell me a little about the clinical characteristics and the baseline demographics?
Absolutely. So the women were generally young. They were 25. Overwhelming majority, almost 99% heterosexual transmission. They were predominantly African-American, 89%. The majority of the women had a high school education, but not much after that. And in terms of employment, the majority of these women at the time of the pregnancy, at least, were unemployed. And a third of these women live within the municipality of Jackson, probably close to 50% within the five counties surrounding Jackson. The CD4 cell counts at presentation for all of these women were about 350, which is within the range of recommendations for starting antiretroviral therapy. And the majority of these women were started on antiretroviral therapy to decrease mother-to-child transmission, but of the number of women that I have, only 61% had what's considered an undetectable viral load, plasma viral load less than 400 copies per ml. They had been diagnosed with HIV for only about 2 years on average, and the majority of these women also presented after second trimester, which is a rather late. 2% actually presented at delivery. A third of these women were diagnosed during the pregnancy, prenatal diagnosis, and we're not sure whether that's a reflection of the fact that they have opt-out testing in Mississippi during pregnancy and they've had that for a long time, or is it also a combination of being reflected the fact that there's poor community-based testing in Mississippi, so these women are finding out only when they engage with care. And smoking and substance abuse are certainly significant comorbidities in these women, and almost a quarter had gotten gonorrhea or chlamydia diagnosed during their pregnancy, and a little over a quarter had a history of sexually transmitted illness. The most interesting thing we found was almost 70% of the women, and this is a N of 161, the women that I could collect the data on, had bilateral tubal ligation as their postpartum contraception plan, which I thought was relatively high, but might be a reflection of the fact that most of these women were multiparous, and so were no longer interested in having children.
Uh-huh. And do you think it's generally offered in this hospital? Because it is an unusually high rate.
It is. I think, you know, and I would have to compare to, you know, the general population, which I don't know what is reflected. I don't know if the bilateral tubal ligation is encouraged or not, or it's a cultural thing reflective of, you know, the race, the education level of that.
But these are Medicaid.
The overwhelming majority are Medicaid. And the thing is, I couldn't really ascertain, you know, whether they were uninsured before or not, because all women during pregnancy are on Medicaid if they have no insurance. They are given uh-huh. Medicaid during the duration of their pregnancy. So I didn't tease that out, whether or not they had been on Medicaid prior or they were just uninsured and were on Medicaid during their pregnancy.
Uh-huh. And does this hospital have case management for HIV-positive women?
During the pregnancy, absolutely. They actually have a pretty involved infrastructure for these women during their pregnancy. It's after pregnancy that it's not as involved. Because
uh-huh.
The focus is really on decreasing mother-to-child transmission.
So they don't have transportation programs for the women or other stuff?
Afterwards, they do. They
okay.
do. They certainly do. It's certainly up to the women to decide to engage, but it's not as aggressive. There's not as much energy focused on it. They've been flat-funded in terms of their funding for the last 5 years or so, even though the numbers have been going up and up and up. So
uh-huh. I think Turner Overton did a study, and he presented it last year, with a longer follow-up, and there were actually deaths in the women, like 2 or 3 years after they had the baby,
yes. Since I only did 1 year,
right.
I don't, you know, that's sort of censored data for me, but yes, there were at least 8 deaths within 3 years of their pregnancy.
Yes. So it's a really tragic situation.
It is a tragic situation.
And nobody's paying attention to it.
Well, hopefully they will now.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
The opinions expressed by host or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thank you for listening to this report from the 2008 ICAC IDSA Joint Conference. For more coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/ICAAC2008.